Welcome, beloved, to this program that is designed with you in mind to cause you to be established in the Word of God. I want to thank you to our service today and get ready to be blessed even as we were blessed. Your life will never be the same.
Now, today's episode.
All right. We started a journey last Sunday. And this month is our month of sacrifice. Before I preach, can you come forward? Come forward. I don't like.
Come
forward. Our handbills are ready.
Your handbills now are ready.
And I'm giving each and every one of you a copy to see how it is. So take the handbills. Give it to the adults. Okay. Yeah, this is the handbill for the church. This is what we are going to use for our evangelism. We would entreat each and every one of you to be part of it. Please. The assignment of the church is not, it's not somebody's personal assignment. It is not the task of one individual or one person. It is our assignment as believers to share the gospel as much as we can. When you look on the handbills, it's an invitation to outsiders to come and worship with us. Looking forward, or the way forward as a church, we must change a lot of things. One of them is the time we start service and the time we close our service. Another thing is how we dress when we are coming to church, especially on Sundays. Another thing is how we talk about the church. If you don't like what you have, nobody will like what you have. Anything you don't appreciate, you tend to lose it. And so I would want to entreat each and every one of you to be proud of what God has given you. For those of us in Perez Chapel, we are so blessed to have our presiding bishop, our prophet and presiding bishop, Bishop Charles Ajinasari, and his lovely wife, Reverend Mrs. Vivian Ajinasari. And as members of Perez, we must deliberately speak well of our father. We must like him for who he is. Is somebody here you are going home? So look at me. So I'm saying that we must appreciate what God has given us. The last thing you must do as a church member is to criticize what God has given you. Let's appreciate what God has put into our hands in the person of our prophet and presiding bishop. Another thing I also want to address is how we appreciate and respond to our local pastor or our branch pastor.
Local pastor.
A lot of you will not see the relevance of our local pastor. until he's been taken away from you. And so I want to entreat each and every one of you. Whatever the church decides as a vision, we must all go for it. In our local setting, this year is supposed to be our year of church growth. And so we cannot divert from it. If we are digressing from the main facts of our church within the year
2021,
you and I have the responsibility of coming back to what God has called us to do. Amen. On Sunday, I preached on sacrifice being the master key to greatness. I'm sure it was not recorded. Was it recorded? Sunday's message. So I'm going to do a recap of what I preached on Sunday. And I would fuse in what I have to preach today. And today I'm speaking on how sacrifice leads to greatness. How sacrifice leads to greatness. Last week, Wednesday, I spoke on the topic how to come out of backsliding. And then in summary, I said that God has given each and every one of us an assignment to fulfill. But along the way, we may veer off the plan. And it is not a wrong thing coming back to what you once used to do. And so today, I'm speaking on how sacrifice leads to greatness. And if I have time, we'll look at Abraham and sacrifice. How he paid the price which led to his greatness. I used two scriptures last week, Sunday. And the scriptures I used was Ephesians 5:2. And Hebrews 12:2-3. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse number 2, the Bible says, follow God's example. In other words, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in a way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And in this scripture, we saw that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for you and I to be where we are today. And we saw last week that it took the love of God for him to sacrifice himself. And so we concluded that without love, it is difficult to sacrifice. It is very difficult to sacrifice your life for the cause of God when you don't love him. Somebody here? And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2 to 3.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse
12. Verse number 2 to 3.
12, verse 2 to 3.
The Bible says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand side of the throne of God.
And so here we also see that because of the price Jesus had in mind, because of the joy that was set ahead of him, he sacrificed himself, scorning the shame. Is somebody here with me? And so I said last week that if you want something, you must be ready to lose something. If you are not ready to lose something, you can't have anything. If you are not ready to go through the pain, forget about gain. You can't have success unless you are ready to fail in doing the wrong things. Is somebody here? A lot of us want to get a lot of things. A lot of us have a lot of desires, but we are not ready to let go of certain things in our lives. But one of the things I want you to remember in our month of sacrifice is that until you are ready to let go of certain things, you can't have other things. And one of the messages that is missing in the church is the message of sacrifice. We preach everything from prosperity to breakthroughs to blessings and how God is going to lift you from where you are to the next level. But one thing we hardly talk about is for the church to sacrifice. Like Job,
he said, Job,
we all want twice as much as he had.
See,
the Bible speaks of Job to be somebody who lost his wife, lost his children, lost his properties.
But
in Job 49, from verse number 10,
Job 49,
the Bible tells us that when Job prayed for his friends, God gave him twice as much as he had before. And so we all want twice as much as we used to have. We want to have more blessings, more cars, more greatness, more buildings, but none of us is ready to go through what Job went through. Like Isaac, we all want to sow and reap within that very same year. We see how God instructed Isaac not to leave
Gerar,
but he should stay there and sow. And in Genesis 26, the Bible tells us that, and Isaac sowed in that land.
Genesis 26,
Isaac, and he reaped in that same year 100-fold. And the Philistines envied him. You see, if you are asked to choose, I know you will choose the 100-fold blessings. I know you choose the 100-fold harvest, but you don't like the envying. I know you don't like the famine, but you see, Isaac had to endure famine.
So Isaac,
in order to receive the greatness of much harvest. I am sure, like
Abraham,
we all want to be fathers of many nations. I'm sure, like Abraham, we all want our name to be all over the world. But the question is, how many of us are ready to sacrifice our Isaacs? And so I'm saying that until you are ready to sacrifice something, forget about receiving anything. The children of Israel,
Israel,
they really love the promised land. But they were not ready to go through the wilderness. I am sure you actually like where God is taking you. But what you don't like is the road to the destination he's taking you on. I believe God might have showed you a lot of things in your dreams. If you are a minister, if you are called to be a minister of the gospel, I am sure God might have revealed to you how millions and dozens of people are going to sit under your feet to listen to the gospel. I am sure God might have revealed to you how you were ministering to whites. I am sure God might have revealed to you the biggest auditorium you saw. But what he did not reveal to you was that you'll be persecuted on the journey to your destination. What he never revealed to you was the fact that you will have to go hungry sometimes in order to get to where he's taking you.
And so,
failure to go hungry simply means failure to achieve whatever God has ordained for you.
That
is why sacrifice is very, very important to you and I. You can't have the promised land without going through the wilderness. You see, you can't receive a blessing from God when you fail to put on one cloth for a period of time.
When
God brought the children of Israel and the children of Israel from Egypt, they needed to go through the Red Sea. They needed to be persecuted by the Egyptians. They needed to go 3 days without food. They needed to go without water.
And
who was going to bring you a change of clothes in the wilderness? So that meant that for 40 years, they were supposed to wear the same clothes, wear the same sandals.
40 years.
How willing are you to sacrifice certain things in order to achieve what God has ordained for you? And I pray that in our month of sacrifice, God will help you sacrifice whatever you must sacrifice.
Anytime
you hold back sacrifice, you are holding back your blessings. When I turned 30 years, God said to me, I want you to come and work for me full time. It's not easy and it hasn't been easy. Sometimes I think of going to work. And it's the same. That's how it is. When God took the children of Israel from Egypt, and he was taking them to the land flowing with milk and honey, at the point they wanted to go back to Egypt, when the going got tougher, they wanted to return back to Egypt. At the point they started saying that, oh, if we were in Egypt by this time, we would have eaten. Oh, despite we were slaves in that land, by this time, like this evening, we would have eaten some rice and stew. Why is it that we are in this wilderness and every day manna, every day we are eating manna? Some of you, your food is one way. It's like that's what you've been eating all these years.
But
what you don't know is that it is a price you are paying to your greatness. And so anytime you fail to sacrifice whatever you must sacrifice, you are holding back your blessings. I pray that there will be nothing in your life that you are holding back from God. Those of you said amen, receive it in Jesus' name. Like Jesus Christ, we all want to have a name that is above all other names. I am sure we want people to mention our names overseas. I'm sure you want your Facebook account to be followed by millions of people.
up a Facebook account in and
for million. If you don't know how to share something on Facebook and allow 5 people to comment, you can never get 5 million people following you. There are some of you, sometimes you share things and nobody likes it, nobody comments, and it's like the thing is just there. Amen. It is just the beginning. This is not how your life is going to be forever. Is somebody with me? And so we must be ready to sacrifice whatever God is asking us to sacrifice. Is somebody here? What then is sacrifice?
When we
say sacrifice, what are we talking about? And I want to define sacrifice in three ways. The first way, I want to simply define sacrifice, is that sacrifice simply means to give up something. So to sacrifice simply means to give up something. There is no sacrifice when you are not willing to give up certain things. If you are not ready to let go of certain things, you haven't sacrificed. Is somebody here with me? Jesus had to give up heaven and come down and live like a pauper. Somebody who even have a house to live in. One day somebody asked him, "Master, where do you stay? I want to follow you."
So,
birds have nets.
So,
but the Son of Man have no place to lay his head. How can God, who is the creator of the universe, visit his creatures and not have a place to lay his head? This was all part of the price he paid. How can God, who is the owner of money, be born into a poor family? When you look at the family of Jesus Christ at the time he was born, they didn't have money. And you could see it from the sacrifice they gave when they went to dedicate Jesus Christ.
In their
culture, the richest will give a bull. A bull is not a real. A donkey is a real. A bull is a cow. So they will give a bull. Some will give oxen. Some will sacrifice sheep. And God told the children of Israel that the poorest among you should sacrifice a pigeon. So when Mary and Joseph went to sacrifice, they sacrificed a pigeon.
Mary and Joseph, they omo dey abubro en e kwabo afori.
It could easily tell you how poor they were. But why should the creator of the universe choose such a family to be born into? And he tells us later on, in I think 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse number 9.
Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9.
Why he did what he did. So why did Jesus had to come down to the point that, why should Jesus, being the creator of the universe, being the owner of money, choose a poor family? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse number
9,
the Bible tells us that, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich.
So
with this scripture, it explains to us why Jesus was born into a poor family. When you hear the word or the phrase, though he was rich, this is talking about his riches in heaven. And the Bible says, Paul told the church that God, my God, shall supply all your needs according to what? His riches were in glory in heaven. And so, from this scripture, we see clearly that the reason why Jesus had to choose a poor family was for him to sacrifice his riches for you to be rich. And this is a great sacrifice. For him to come from heaven down to earth alone is even a sacrifice. For him leaving his throne in heaven and coming down as a servant to serve not any other person but yours truly, you and I,
is
a great sacrifice. So later on he tells us that no one has this love for a man to lay down his life for his friend. No one has this love. Is somebody here? And this is the greatest sacrifice we could ever have. For him to leave his throne to come down. For him to take poverty upon himself for you. And so what I'm saying is that if we say somebody is sacrificing, it means the person is giving up certain things. And so until we are also ready to let go of certain things, we have not sacrificed. And we are not ready to sacrifice yet. Yes, I know you are a degree holder. But are you ready to lay off the degree and mingle with illiterates?
That's why degree now only.
Yes, I know you are from a royal family. But how willing are you to mingle with paupers? I know you are from a rich family. But how willing are you to mingle with the poor? Some of you see yourself more, you esteem yourself more highly than you ought to. But remember, until you are ready to let go of certain things, you haven't sacrificed anything. Yes, in church, people may fight you. But until you are ready to say, oh, well, I'm doing this for Jesus, I'm not doing it for any man.
And I
won't allow the actions and the inactions of men to turn me away from church. Until you are ready to say that you have not sacrificed anything. Until you are ready to give your energy to the work of God, you have not sacrificed. Because sacrifice involves energy. Hey! The work of God requires energy. It will need people to put in their strength. The work of God will require you to carry blocks for God. It will require you to weed for him. It will require you to carry stones for him. It will require you to spend time. That's the second thing. You see, until you are giving your time to the work of God, you've not sacrificed for God. And for most of us, what God is requiring from you is your time. Today, the only time people come to church is on Sundays. And even on Sundays, they get here around 9 o'clock, 10. Some even come at 10:30, 11. And after 30 minutes of being in the house of God, they begin to complain that we are late.
30 minutes.
And I wonder what they are doing with the rest of the hours. From Monday down to Sunday, we have all these days for ourselves. And so if you have gotten to the point where you can't sacrifice 3 hours of your time for God, within a day, you have 24 hours. You just take the 20 and give the 4 to God.
24 hours,
and even now, because of the restrictions, we are supposed to hold service for 2 hours. And if you can't sacrifice 2 hours out of the 24 hours you have for God, you have not sacrificed anything.
24 hours.
And so you and I must be willing to give our time to God. By this time you should be sleeping.
Because
it's in the evening. But for you to even walk from your house to this place, it's a sacrifice on its own.
Is
somebody here with me? And I pray that may God reward your sacrifice tonight. I pray may God reward your sacrifice tonight. And so there is no sacrifice when we are not ready to let go of certain things. Moses had to sacrifice the honor of being called Pharaoh's son.
Moses,
can we read Hebrews chapter 11? Verse number 24 to 26.
Hebrews 11.
Verse number 24 to 26.
Verse 24 to 26.
I'm reading from the NIV version.
NIV.
The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value. So he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as great or greater value than the treasures of Egypt. You see, this is a gentleman who has been born to a royal house. This is a gentleman who has been adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh, the most powerful king in the whole world
then.
And by virtue of the adoption, Moses was a son of Egypt. He was entitled to everything a prince in Egypt will receive. One day I watched the movie entitled, I think the title of the movie was Prince of Persia. How many of you have watched Prince of Persia before? Prince of Persia is a very nice movie.
Prince of Persia,
and it depicts what Moses did in Egypt. The Prince of Persia was a very stubborn boy.
Persia, he did not understand the Akasa.
And the prince,
Ohinenebano,
he was a very stubborn boy. And he wasn't from a royal house. He was a vagabond on the street, causing a lot of commotion and what have you.
One day
he did something, and he caused a commotion and they were chasing him. And they were trying to catch him. They did everything. They were not able to catch him.
That's
a small boy. And so he was running and he bumped into the king of Persia then. And when the soldiers grabbed him, the king just loved his courage and his stubbornness.
And
so the king just said, "Allow him. From today onwards, I've adopted him as my son." And so he became the prince of Persia. Moses was adopted into Egypt by Pharaoh's daughter. So by virtue of adoption,
Moses,
by virtue of adoption, let me finish. Okay. By virtue of adoption, Moses became the prince of Egypt. But in Hebrews chapter 11, as we just read,
Hebrews chapter 11, yeah, King
Kai, verse number 24 tells us that Moses, when he grew up, because of faith,
verse 20, during the chain, say Moses,
he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And this is a great sacrifice. Rather, he chose to associate himself with the people of God who were slaves. Is somebody here with me? So when we say somebody is giving up something, or when we say somebody is sacrificing, it means there are so many things the person is giving up. You must give up. And I just gave you, I think, four. Let me give you four. I've given you two already. I'm giving you four things you must let go. If you say you are truly sacrificing, you should be able to give your energy. When I see people that run away from the work of God, we are doing this for God, and you run away. I just pity them. You must sacrifice your time. Another thing you must sacrifice is your money. Where do you put your money? And where has your money been going to? Or what has your money been going into? Some of you never sacrifice anything. You always want to receive, but you are not ready to give. When you come to church, we are raising funds for this. When you come to church, we are doing this. Minus you. So it looks like everything we do in the house of God is minus you and your money. But if you truly want to achieve greatness, you should be ready to let go of certain things, including your money. Your money must be in what we are doing. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart is also." In other words, it is where you have sacrificed that determines where your heart is. So what is in your heart is a reflection of your sacrifice. There are some of you don't feel anything when the church loses things. When the church is in a problem or in a trouble and whatever, you don't feel anything because nothing of yours, especially your money, is not in it. But there are some people who cry. Should something happen to this auditorium, there are some people who cry. There are some people who will be worried. Should something break down right now, there are some people who feel very sad.
Why?
Because their money is a net. Anything you have not sacrificed or you have not put money into, when it gets destroyed or it gets stolen, you don't feel anything. And anything you have not sacrificed into, you just misuse it. Is it true or false? That is why you and I must be very careful. Is somebody here?
Obiwaha.
So this evening, let me ask you, what is there in your life that you are sacrificing? What is there in your life that you must give up, which you have not given up? Is it your energy? Is it your time? Is it, if you say you are working for God, it should take your time. It should take your money. It's very important. Is somebody here with me? Is somebody here? Yes. And if you say you are sacrificing it, you should be willing to do something over and over again. We divided the church into departments. And your sacrifice is a reflection of what is happening in your department. If you are part of the evangelism department, and you now, you hardly even go out. If you are part of the prayer department, or you are the head of the prayer department, and there is no prayer in the church, you must know that you are not sacrificing. If you are the head of the media department, and nothing is happening in the media department, you must know that you are not working, you are not sacrificing. Likewise, if you are the head of the drama department, and there is no drama in the church, there is no choreography in the church, you must know that you have not started sacrificing at all. And this is a wake up call God is giving you and I. This is a wake up call God is giving you and I. Because without sacrificing, you can't be great. There are a lot of you, what you don't know is that the opportunity God gave you to serve in that department is actually an opportunity to train you as a leader. It is actually a medium is using to teach you how to work with difficult people. You can't be a great leader when you don't know how to handle difficult people. When all the people in your department don't agree with you, do you give up and say, well, they are not coming, so I've stopped? When there is nobody to join you in your department, do you say, Pastor, me, I've done everything, nobody is joining the department, so me to have stopped? And this is an opportunity God is giving you and I to rise up,
say your best story,
to fight the knots, and to become what He has destined us to become. Is somebody here with me? You must be ready to give up your time for God. You must be ready to give your energy for God. Ashes don't come to church. Even those who come, they don't come early. So they expect us to set up the place for service. Today in this church, there are no cleaners. We are all seniors. We are all big men and big women. There's nobody who cleans chairs. There's nobody who cleans altars. There is nobody who sweeps the house. There is nobody who does the fans. Is somebody here? You are sleeping. Amen.
Amen.
So you must be ready to give your time. You must be ready to give your money. We wanted to do some printing for flyers. We wanted to print some handbills.
Printing handbills,
so that we'll share it when we go out for evangelism. And we needed people to sacrifice. We needed people to give money. Some people gave. Some didn't. Those who promised, they didn't pay. Is somebody here with me? Are you giving some money? Are you giving your time? Are you giving your energy? Yes, and there are some of us who must be willing to sacrifice certain friends. We must be ready to sacrifice certain ungodly relationships. We must be ready to sacrifice certain characters and behaviors. There are certain jobs you must even be willing to give up. If you want to be a Christian, you are not a serious Christian when your work takes your time on Sundays. And you are happy to go to work on Sunday. If you were to live in the days of the Israelites, they would have stoned you to death. Because on the Sabbath day, no work was supposed to be done. Is somebody here with me?
We come home.
Yeah, so you must be willing to sacrifice certain jobs. Sometimes our lifestyle. There are certain lifestyles we must be willing to sacrifice. If we truly want to walk with God. You can't be a Christian and be duping people. Lying to them for their money. Can be a Christian and be living waywardly. You can't be a Christian and be womanizing. You can't be. You've not sacrificed. You've not even started Christianity. If you are here and you are a gay. And you are a lesbian. You are here. You think Christianity is an easy job? Or you think it's an easy walk?
It's
never been easy. The first thing we must do when we become Christians is to sacrifice. As for this one, you must know. There are a lot of things we must sacrifice. And until you are ready to sacrifice them, you are not going anywhere. One day Jesus preached about sacrifice. And Peter said, Lord, we have left all and followed you. What are we going to get? In Matthew chapter 19, verse number 27. He said, we have
27.
Left all and followed you. What are we going to get? What have you left? Why have you left some and kept some? Remember, the moment you begin to sacrifice certain things and you leave certain things, you've not sacrificed at all. Because half a sacrifice is better you don't even sacrifice. Is somebody here? Peter said, we have left all and followed you. You can't expect anything from God when you have not sacrificed. You can't expect greatness when you've not left anything. And as at the time Peter was saying, we have left all and followed you, he had a jackknife in his pocket. He didn't know that to be a man of God, you need to also let go of the jackknife. And it was when the need came for him to use the jackknife, when the time came for him to use the jackknife, that was when we knew that all this while Peter had a jackknife in his pocket. But he said he has left all. Yeah, some of you have left all except your jackknives. And you are ready to cut off Marcus' ears. Some of you have left all except your anger. Except the anger. So if you've left all except the lady, as for that one, you can't. Some of you have left all except stealing. And you say, oh, God understands. He doesn't understand.
until she has it.
There is only one language you understand, and that's the language of sacrifice. And so you must be ready to let go of certain things. To sacrifice means to abandon certain things. To let certain things go completely. Is somebody with me? I think on Sunday I was telling some of you that if you truly say you are staying out of your old relationships and this time you are going to live a holy life, you must be ready to break the relationship, including friendship. There are people who say, "Oh, Pastor, well, there's nothing going on between us. We are just friends."
No.
You can't be just friends. You must let it go completely. You can't say one thing and leave certain things. Is somebody here with me? Unless you are not ready to sacrifice, but you must let it go. So to sacrifice means to give up. To sacrifice means to abandon. And number three, to sacrifice means to surrender. Or to surrender. What have you surrendered in your life? What at all is there in your life that you say, "Oh, as for this one, it's okay, I give up"? I was talking to a lady. Said, "Pastor, well, I know the man is, she's dating a married man." Said, I know the man is married. But if I let him go, I don't know where I'm going to get money to pay my rent. And so I've told him we should break up, but as for the momo, I will take it. Unless you are ready to surrender the momo too, you've not sacrificed. Is somebody here with me? And always remember that there are three beneficiaries to your sacrifice. Three people receive sacrifice. What you don't know is that everybody in this world is sacrificing. Everybody is sacrificing something. When you see people wake up at 4 a.m., they bath and they go to work, it's a sacrifice. There are basically three recipients of sacrifice. These three beneficiaries is number one, God. God receives sacrifices. Number two, devils also receive sacrifices. And number three, human beings. Is somebody here with me? When you read Romans 12, verse number 1.
Okay, can Romans 12, verse 1 now.
The Bible says,
trust them, say,
"I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God." Holy and acceptable unto who?
God.
Unto God. So if you are presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, that presentation of that body is to God.
So
the sacrificing of your body is unto God. So God is a beneficiary of sacrifice. The second person also receives sacrifice is the devil. You'll be shocked. Today, if you want to, that's why the people do sakawa and what have you. When you go, the first thing they will ask you is to sacrifice. Bring this thing. Bring your mother. Bring your father. Bring your child. At first, they used to tell you, but now they don't even tell you. They will let you start the process. Then, halfway through, they will tell you that you need to bring your mother to complete the process. And if you don't bring her, you go mad. Is somebody here with me? The devil also receives sacrifice. When you read 1 Corinthians 10:20. What is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 20. But I say that these things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye shall have fellowship with devils. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 20.
1 Corinthians 10, verse 20.
He says, remember that these things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they are sacrificing it unto devils and not unto God.
So
the devil receives sacrifice. Who are you sacrificing your life for? Who are you sacrificing your money for? Who are you sacrificing your time for? There are others, they also give you, they sacrifice their lives for human beings. And
you
see it with political parties. How willing people are ready to die for another human being. One day I watched a documentary on the internet. There was this American president.
American man penin bi wo ho.
I think, was it President Nixon or something? He was going to be shot.
President Nixon, you know, yeah, ko.
He went out.
Yeah, ko bon it you.
He went out. He was in public. I think he held a conference. After the conference, he was moving into his car and there were a lot of people in the car, so he was just waving. All of a sudden, somebody from the crowd pulled the trigger. Boom! I've never seen one before. Let's assume this is the president. Immediately the person shot the gun. The president's bodyguard took the bullet for the president. And the person shot again. And the guy took the bullet. And he fell. And the rest of the bodyguards shielded the president. It was quite. He was fortunate in that he didn't die. Today is an old man. So they asked him, why did you take a bullet for the president? Why? Why did you sacrifice your life for the president? Do you know what he said? Do you want to know what he said? The man said, that is my job. My job was to protect the president. And I would have failed if I should have allowed the president to be killed under my watch. You, I don't know. Who are you sacrificing your life for? Who are you sacrificing your life for? Is it for the devil? That's what you see. Today you see young leaders almost naked walking on the street and it's like nothing moves them, engage in prostitution and all sort of things, and they don't care. As long as they can get the money, that's all what they need. Such people are giving themselves or sacrificing themselves to the devil. So who is the beneficiary of your sacrifice? Who receives your time? Your time, what do you put into? Is somebody here with me? Time will not permit me to talk about Abraham and how Abraham sacrificed and later became great. We hope you've been blessed by this message. For further information on Reverend Amos Darko's tapes and books, please send us a mail at rev.amosdarko@gmail.com or call
+233 503 861 399. Thank you for your time and God bless you.